Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, speak for yourself, listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com. Now, let's start the show.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcel Swiley here with this Broncos fan in that seat right there, Emmanuel Acho.
It was a good weekend, man, coming in with a little color, a little energy.
Spending that Oprah money fast, ain't he? Well, let's get it started, y'all, with Jamal Adams. Woo. Finally got his wish and is leaving the Big Apple. Adams had a very public contract dispute and trade demand, but now he's headed out west to Seattle. Former Jet tweeted to Seahawks fans and his new team that he is, quote, a man on a mission. Pete Carroll called adding the two-time Pro Bowler a, quote, extraordinary opportunity. But the new addition came with a huge price tag. Talking about one of the macho suit price tags. The Seahawks are sending the Jets a package that includes safety Bradley McDougal and two first-round picks, while Seattle now has one of the top safeties in the NFL. But Acho, did the Seahawks give up too much for Jamal Adams?
On paper, my brother, it looks like they did.
That is paper. Money gave up too much.
But let me break it down for you and tell you they didn't. Oh. You know, there's the saying, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right? Okay. Well, value is in the eye of the holder.
Whoa.
And what I mean by that is, okay, on paper, you said, man, the Seahawks, they gave up two first-round picks.
Yes.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
But think about it. The first-round picks, they were going to be late picks. And then you got to understand, if you're the Hawks, you don't draft well late. Early on, since Pete Carroll gets there, if they draft well, you think top 15 picks, you've gotten Bruce Irvin help you win a Super Bowl. You got Earl Thomas help you win a Super Bowl. But look at who the Seahawks draft late. You got guys like James Carpenter, four seasons at the Seahawks and then done. Mm. Jermaine Ifedi, four seasons and then out of Seattle. By done, I mean he's moved on from Seattle. You got Rashad Penny. You got guys that haven't really produced in a major way when you look at the Seahawks with their late first-round picks.
I like it.
So when you look at it on paper, Marcellus, the lazy take is, of course, they gave away too much.
Oh.
They gave away two first. But late first-round picks for the Seahawks, they've never held that much value. And look at what you got in return. A 24-year-old safety in his prime.
Duh.
So when I look at things, I don't think the Seahawks gave up too much.
Okay.
Not for the Seahawks.
Mm. You ready for the lazy take?
You know I'm about to be lazy as hell.
Boy, did they give up too much for this dude.
A safety?
Yeah,
a safety.
A safety.
A safety.
I mean, basically the running back on the defensive side.
Come on,
how devalued.
Come on, bro.
How devalued that position is. Not by me. I'm retired. By the entire NFL.
Okay.
You gave up two firsts and a starting safety.
Mm-hmm. They did.
And the third... And that's not it. You still have to pay him. Mm-hmm. He hasn't even got his contract yet.
That's fair.
And guess what he's going to ask for? Some of that Eddie Jackson money. You know how much Eddie Jackson for the Chicago Bears is? The top paid safety. $14.6 million a year. So not only did you give up a player and some first round picks, but you still have to pay the guy, that young 24-year-old stud.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you say on paper, it may look like it's an overpayment, but if you look at terms of value, how about this equation when you go to the cash register? Two things you should think of when you talk about, did you pay too much? How much did you actually pay? But more importantly, how much did you really have to pay?
Okay.
That's why I love the Slauson swap meet.
You go
up in there, it can say 2 for 10, but when you know you're walking out with 5 for 10.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to know how to negotiate. And right now, it looks like the Seattle Seahawks, who just last year was in a situation with a Jadeveon Clowney and a big splash free agent. Oh,
Where is he right? Is he on the roster? Oh, so no foresight, no true vision of how all this is going to materialize. Let me tell you how this is going to materialize.
Please.
It's going to be a team that has a stud safety, minimum impact on the roster, and then, more importantly, you still got to pay the guy. They overpaid, bro.
You know how I know you play defensive line, Marcellus? Let me tell you
how. The lumps on my head?
It's not the lumps, my man. It's not the fingers that have been through some things. Woo! It's because you don't know the value of your safeties. Oh. It's because you don't know the value of your safeties, Marcellus. Let's take it back to since Pete Carroll showed up, and we'll just go. Now, let's go to the decade. Packers won the Super Bowl 2010. Yeah. Nick Collins, safety. Charles Woodson out there, DB, moved into safety. Mm. Then you go to 2011, Antro Roll. The Giants won a Super Bowl. Safety. Big-time player. Then you go to 2012, Ravens won, Ed Reed. 2013, Earl Thomas. 2014, Devin McCourty. 2015, T.J. Ward. 2016, McCourty again. Then you got Malcolm Jenkins. What I'm saying is Super Bowl-winning teams have Pro Bowl All-Pro caliber safeties. It is a sure thing. And we let's not forget about Ty Matthew in this past season. So while the safety you equated to, sir, is the running back of the defense, a safety is much more like the quarterback of the defense, because a safety tells everybody what to do defensively outside of that middle linebacker. Mm. So you, sir, have looked at the value of a safety and you have completely undermined just how valuable Jamal Adams is. I don't fault you because you had your hand in the dirt. I don't fault you because it's not your fault. You didn't understand just how valuable Jamal Adams is. But what the Seahawks realize is that, man, he's 24. He got about 5-6 good years left in the tank. If we just looked at what Earl Thomas did in Seattle and his age and his trajectory and what Jamal Adams might be able to do in his trajectory, they didn't give up too much because they want to win a Super Bowl. And Super Bowls, you understand, you need a top flight, top tier safety. And that's what they got.
Strong argument because you used me against me. And that's pretty strong. But the thing about it is what I don't like about your argument is that it didn't address their greatest concerns and needs, and it didn't even satisfy the desires of their franchise quarterback, who's been out there politicking to try and get one more weapon in that receiving core. And I wonder if this offseason, at any point, was there anyone available or two at the receiver position that could have actually helped the Seattle Seahawks really get over the hump. Let's remember, this is a team last year that was actually a lot closer than it looked. All of their running backs got hurt in 2 weeks. They had to go out there with that Marshawn Lynch experiment, respect to the homie. And you look at them, they had issues and injuries up front on the offensive line. And the defense last year was less than adequate. So you look at a team that won 11 games by one possession. Mm-hmm. That ain't gonna happen again. And you look at a team that outscored its opponents in totality by only 7 points. By the skin of the teeth they was getting by in these games. Mm-hmm. And Russell Wilson, with his tremendous acumen, all he said is, just give me one more receiver. DeAndre Hopkins was in the trade opportunity earlier in the offseason. He was available for a fourth rounder. Oh, and they didn't go get him. They're going to go 2 firsts for a safety. And then you look at Stephon Diggs, who was available for a seventh rounder. That's later than when you got drafted. Seventh rounder, first rounder, fifth rounder, fourth rounder. And they didn't go after cheaper, let me say, better suited, better talents for this opportunity right now for the Seattle Seahawks to climb over that hump. But they went and got a safety. As you said, historically, that's been a benefit. We'll see.
Their issue, bro, is not about the offense to me. When I look at the Seahawks, remember, their offense was maligned.
No,
the
issue offensively, top 10.
Yeah, the issue to me wasn't about their offense. Okay. You had running back after running back after running back after running back, and they mama get hurt. That's not going to happen again.
Right.
So I'm not so much worried, bro, about the offense. The offensive woes weren't Seattle's issue. Their defensive line, to your point, that's going to be an issue.
Yes.
They got to solve that.
Oh.
But Jamal Adams, he's one of the few safeties that have what? 12-plus sacks since he got into the league. 25-plus pass deflections. Mm-hmm. So he can do it all. He's a Swiss Army knife. When you look at Seattle, you got Russell Wilson. At the end of the day, your offense going to be Gucci defensively. That's what you needed to fix, and they did that.
Where's football start and end? Up front. Mm-hmm. Did they fix up front? Let's keep going. Let's move on to someone who wasn't really happy about the Jamal Adams trade. Le'Veon Bell threw some serious shade on the trade news, tweeting, quote, "People do all the hooting and hollering to get you brought in just to leave. LOL, like, people weird, yo." That's the funniest line ever. The internet got these dudes doing whatever for attention. Even when they tell you bleep, they don't believe themselves. Adams responded tweeting, quote, "Noted, see you week 14. Ooh, fight."
Bell would later respond, calling Adams a, quote, liar. Ooh, fighting words. Meet you at the flagpole. So, Otto, whose side are you on here? Le'Veon Bell, Jamal Adams.
Hey, bruh.
Hey, bruh.
Hey.
Say, bruh.
I'm on Le'Veon Bell's side. And here's why, bruh. Jamal Adams, let's be real. Keep it 100. You knew the Jets were sorry when you recruited Le'Veon Bell there. They were sorry when you recruited him. They were sorry when you was trying to dip. Ain't nothing changed. So how you gonna change up? Ooh. You feel me? It's not like Jets was good when he was recruiting Le'Veon, and then they got sorry, and he's like, okay, you know what? Let me go ahead and bounce. Mm. The Jets had been sorry, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
You, Jamal Adams, plus Le'Veon, y'all was supposed to be the Young Bucks that's riding the ship. Like, I think he recruited Le'Veon. Le'Veon was 26, 27 at the time. Y'all supposed to be the Young Bucks right in the joint. So how am I going to say, imagine Marcellus.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Acho, hey. You got to come to this new network. We out here. We popping it.
We Fox Sports. FS1.
Hey, we speak for yourself. It's about to go crazy.
Yeah.
I show up ready to do my thing.
Wearing that suit.
On, and then all of a sudden, you dip. Like, come on, bruh. It's supposed to be players versus the execs. It's supposed to be players versus the coaches, not players versus players. Like, to me, I feel Le'Veon Bell. And it, Jamal Adams did what was best for him. Yes, I get that. But Le'Veon Bell, I understand him saying it's a punk move.
Oh, man. Ooh, you went there. Another fight word.
I understand it. I understand okay. Le'Veon
you understand
that.
Look, I'm torn on this one because I am feeling it, Le'Veon, but I have to side with Jamal Adams. And that whole scenario you just talked about, hey, 2 years ago, Whitlock was in my backyard. Hey, Wiley, me and you could do this thing for life. What? You don't look like Whitlock. You look like half of my dog. What? That's how the game goes.
It is.
That's why I'm a side with Jamal Adams. One, Le'Veon, you just told on yourself, big dog.
Uh-oh.
People are the most upset about the things they're guilty of. Pittsburgh line one. Le'Veon Bell, you in Pittsburgh still? Why not? I wonder why, because you had to do what was best for you. In any situation I've ever been in, whether I'm receiving advice or giving advice, and someone who's in transition, I always tell them, do what's best for you.
That's facts.
Because you know what?
That's facts.
I'm over here thinking selfishly as well.
That's facts.
I may be giving you advice, but it's just something that you need to hear that you already know. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to even lie to you. If I'm recruiting Le'Veon Bell, I hope Le'Veon Bell didn't get suckered into thinking that everything Jamal Adams said was truth. Mm-hmm. It was what was best for Jamal Adams and also enticing to a Le'Veon Bell. So I'm with Jamal Adams because he kept it 100. He's like, look, get here with me. We gonna do this thing as long as we gonna do this
but
thing.
But come on, coach. Come on, bro.
Oh, now I'm not even a player, I'm a coach. I sound like you, coach upstairs.
You can't say he kept it 100 because
he did.
No. We gonna do this thing means through thick and thin, we gonna do this thing. It was already thin. That was my point.
It's through now and now a little bit later.
Bruh, my thing is let coaches lie. Let these coaches lie.
Yeah.
Don't let your homeboy lie. I remember going into my senior year at Texas. My DC came up to me. We had just went 5-7. He was like, all right, y'all come back. Y'all juniors. Y'all come back for your senior year. We going to write this shit. Next thing you know, I'm looking on the news. My coach took another job. I'm like, dang. Okay, like that. But that's the coach. Yeah. I get it. With you and your boys. The boys you go to war with,
yeah.
The boys you cross the white lines with, I would just hope there's a difference. I understand Jamal Adams got to do what's best for Jamal Adams. That's his right.
Right.
But Le'Veon Bell is also entitled to be right in saying, you know what, Jamal Adams, you tripping. Like, you tripping to do that, bro. And not to get emotional, but bro code is bro code. If you tell me something, I'm counting on your word that you going to do it because I'm making my decision in light of what you told me.
Yeah, but remember in bro code, in the fine print, like, we're in this together until we ain't. That's bro code fine print part one. Here's part two. I can never promise you more than I've been promised.
Mm-hmm.
You see that contract I signed? My name is Jamal Adams. Does that say for life? No. Does it say for 4 years and they probably going to franchise tag me? Yeah. So guess what? There are some exit strategies in this built in that maybe I didn't highlight in recruiting you. Like, whatever, maybe.
Maybe.
Hey, you know we've been to college when you recruiting a cat. You're not saying I'm going to be here forever. You're saying, yo, come here now, and then I'm going to dip, and then it's your turn. That's how the game goes, and I'm sorry, Le'Veon. He didn't remind you and highlight those things like you did in Pittsburgh, but that's just how the girl... Leave that alone. Coming up, Lou Williams made a quick pit stop in Atlanta for some of his favorite wings. And now everyone's coming after my boy. I'll tell you why this shouldn't be a big deal next. Speak for yourself. Presented by Hyundai.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Nick Foles, he has a statue outside the stadium for a reason. The greatest Eagle of all time.
I'm about to spank you right now, Macho.
I want a timeout.
I got two names for you.
Please.
Macho Brad Johnson. You remember that name?
I know who Brad Johnson is, sir.
You know who Trent Dilfer
is?
I do. That might be going too far back for you. That's going back to the early 2000s.
Marcellus, I don't want to do this. Here's the problem. Brad Johnson, was he MVP of the SAT Super Bowl?
Finish.
Was he? Because I think it went to a defensive player, sir. Nick Foles was the MVP of his Super Bowl, coach. This young butt, he knows his history, coach.
Well done.
Yes. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Oh, let's move to Lou Williams, who is in hot water after he was seen at a gentleman's club in Atlanta while away from the NBA bubble. Now, Williams said he was there to get food, and he wasn't partying.
I mean.
Okay. He even has his own chicken wing flavor on the menu, though, Marcellus.
Right.
Williams is back in the bubble, but has to spend 10 days in quarantine and will miss two games after the NBA looked a little further into things and did an investigation. We joined now by the one and only Slick Rick Uecker. But Marcellus, I got to start with you, bro.
What?
Big deal or not that Lou Williams went out in Atlanta.
Y'all going to me first. I must know my history. You must know me. Oh, man, this is a little deal. This is not really a big deal, but we're going to make it a big deal, it seems like, over the weekend. Everyone wants to pile on Lou Williams. Let me tell you why it's not a big deal.
Okay.
He didn't leave the bubble to go to Magic City, even though that's the conflation going on right now. You left for a funeral. And if anyone's ever had an excused absence, you leave for that reason and priority. But while out, you may do other things as long as you respect the time commitment that you're supposed to leave and come back. And Lou Williams was on that schedule. Now, what did he compromise? He compromised some safety for others, whether it's his team, the bubble, et cetera. And I understand that. And that is a deal. That's why this is not a no-deal situation. Hey, Lou Williams, whether you could have had it delivered or you could have just stayed in the car and it could have came out because you got your own damn flavor on the menu, like you have VIP services, you didn't need to put the extra on that and show up, then get into a clout with Jack Harlow, some rapper, Laker fan dude, who gonna put you out there for millions to see. You shouldn't be in that predicament. But all that said, Lou Williams left the bubble. Let's keep our mind on why he left in the first place. For a legitimate reason, while out, you're allowed to live, even though this situation in the pandemic makes it look like it's bigger than it is.
Marcellus, before I address this, for those watching who may be a little ambiguous as to where Lou Williams was, can you just please let the viewer know, like, what Magic City, it has a very ambiguous name, sir. Can
you just clarify? Magic City is it's a nude ballet for a lot of people who like to go and eat. It's a part of the community, a fabric. fabric of the community. But it's not much fabric once you go inside there. I'll just let y'all know that. But the point of it is, it's an establishment where you go to be entertained, and it's actually something that people go on ladies' nights. They just go to hang out. I got into a lot of arguments with a lot of my Atlanta friends about how this is just the Roscoe's of a nude ballet.
So basically, it's like Chuck E. Cheese. No. It's a big deal, Marcellus and Slick Rick. It's a big deal for two reasons, though. Not because my dog was hungry and wanted some hot wings. Apparently, the food there smacks. That's not why. Because we always have to look deeper. Who's going to win this championship? I told you and I told Slick on Friday, it's not just about talent. I told you and I told Slick on Friday, it's not just about the depth chart. I told you this is about leadership. That's what this title is going to come down to, leadership. And if you're not only doing two things, Marcellus, and watch a yawn, okay? Watch a jaw. If you're not, you're doing two things. You're making two pivotal errors. Number one, safety. That's the first issue is you're putting yourself at risk, but you're putting other people at risk. But I'm not going to get into the safety aspect of it because it's a sports show. So let's talk sports. You're risking your team's chance of winning this chip because now you got to miss two games because you wanted to do what? Go get some wings? Uber Eats, bruh.
Yeah.
The Postmates. Yeah. Do something.
Yeah,
but now you got to miss these games. So this just goes back to my first point of it's a huge deal because he's hurting his team's chances. That's why it matters.
Mm.
First of all, how do you get your wings at a strip club named after you? That's the story
that
about Lou Williams that I really want to know, man. We got to follow up with that.
Yes, sir.
Everything that I know about 20-something men in general and professional athletes in particular makes me want to say that this is not a big deal.
Yes.
But when I think about what the Clippers are after and who they are and what it's going to take, I can't help but say that it's a big deal.
Talk about it, Slick.
Nacho's point.
Talk about
this
it.
This is not just on paper. The Clippers have what they need. But this is also a Clippers team that has taken the slow lane to really bringing themselves together and being the dominant team that they can be. When I talk to any of the GMs, coaches, or players about this bubble, they have said the number one challenge, the number one asset that you're going to have as a team is your mental toughness. Now, I know from players that the league didn't do a great job of outlining exactly what you can and can't do.
Boom.
But Lou going to a strip club and then saying, I only went there for the food, just hits me all kinds of wrong. And by the way, you're going from Florida, which is a hot spot, to Georgia, which is an equally hot
spot,
putting yourself out in the public. The possibility that you would bring the COVID back to your team, and not only you, but a multitude of guys might have to be quarantined, and what that might do to your playoff or your championship chances, I can't help but say this is a big deal.
You're all some old curmudgeons. Here,
Marcellus.
Excuse absence, he goes to a restaurant. This is really some stripper shaming what we're doing here, because if you'd have went to, I don't know, a Crab Shack or something, everybody's like, oh, Lou Williams is at Crab Shack, and he had his NBA mask on. It was so cool to get a six-foot distant picture of him. But since he's at the strip club, all of a sudden, his mind got to be off. He can't be focused on the eye, on the prize, all that kind of stuff. Michael Jordan used to do this kind of stuff, not on camera, all the time. We're having Atlantic City and all those kind of escapades and things of that nature. And it didn't hurt Jordan. Like, y'all acting like we've never been on teams before and breaking curfew is all of a sudden the way we're not going to
come
win
on,
a championship.
Come on, Marcellus, bro. There's a difference, bro. There's a difference,
sir.
Can I
tell
There's a difference between a family game night, okay, playing Taboo and being in Magic City, sir.
No. Well, I don't know. Have you been in Magic City?
No, I have not.
Yeah.
I've been playing Taboo, though.
Oh, it's Taboo. Let me say this. The cover-up is worse than the crime here. That's what's wrong. Jack Harlow lying and keep lying and then deleting tweets. And then Lou Williams sitting there trying to see how it was all going to play out. Didn't necessarily come out on his own volition initially and say what it was. And then he tried to downplay it, but finally he fessed up for it. Here's the thing. Lou Williams finally went Lou Williams. If anybody knows about Lou Williams personally, you understand that this was just inevitable. My man got multiple girlfriends. Lou Williams be having the biggest, baddest, freshest off-season parties ever at his crib. They look like festivals, and it's at his crib. Like, Lou Williams is always a guy who's toed the line in terms of off-the-court activities, and this time he stepped over that line. I respect that. That's why it's a little deal, not a big
deal. You respect that?
Yeah, because this is who he's always been for a team that has championship aspirations. Think about this. What this really is, and we've all been there, grade school. Mama, I can't go to school today. Oh, okay, baby. Stay home today and make sure you stay in the bed and get your rest and eat your soup. That's cool at 7 a.m. About 10:30, 11, you start feeling kind of good, right? And now you got a dilemma. Do you stay in the bed and say, Mama, I told you I was sick and I'm going to be sick all day? Or do I go outside and play with my Tonka trucks a little bit? Lou Williams went out and played with his Tonka trucks just a little bit, and now everybody's going to act like he's not dedicated to his craft. To me, that's conflation.
Marcellus,
and that's
can I ask you a question, sir?
Sir, yes, sir.
Who is the Clippers' biggest competition in the West?
What ourselves. Team? Ourselves.
And no, sir. The biggest competition in the West is the L.A. Lakers, sir. You've admitted that on camera yourself.
Oh, and they don't have distractions?
The Lakers have a player by the name of Alex Caruso, his own sister, sir. His own flesh and blood.
was getting married outside of Austin, Texas.
There we go.
But you know what Caruso said?
Wait, he said, I ain't going.
Because he need to play.
He want to win a chip.
No, because
that's what he wanted to do.
He needed time on the court.
No, sir.
He wants to win a chip, so he ain't even go to his own sister's wedding. Meanwhile, you're making an excuse, sir.
Wow.
You, Marcel. See, this, you're telling on yourself.
Alex Caruso.
You're letting me know what kind of guy you are, sir. He wants to win a chip, Alex Caruso.
Man, he just wants some time.
You making an excuse for Lou Williams, who, to your point, is a bigger leader on his team, but going to a strip joint. An excuse maker is what you're doing right now.
Where's Avery Bradley right now, since you want to talk about distractions? Avery Bradley right
Slick.
Now?
Slick.
Oh, he got quiet on the set. I thought so.
Please.
Uh-huh.
No. Look, Marcellus is right. The Clippers' biggest challenge are themselves.
Yes.
Lou Williams going to a strip club and stepping out when it could infect his entire team doesn't show me championship mindset at this point. And we're only talking about a couple weeks into this thing.
It's a couple weeks.
This is going to be a slog. So if he's already trying to find ways to skirt the rules, what's the chance that a month from now he's not going to get itchy and try to do something else? That's what scares me about this. And by the way, this is the first time Lou Williams has been on a team this good that could legitimately say it has championship aspirations. So what are you about? Getting some wings, getting some entertainment?
Talk about a slit. Talk about a slit.
Down and trying
talk
to
about a slit.
That you never had a chance of winning before. Here's the other part. The bigger issue for me is that I think it's unreasonable for the NBA to think 300-some 20-something men are either going to be celibate or that they are going to break their normal means of blowing on steam.
This lit?
Social diversion.
Slick.
Like, this ain't gonna be the last thing.
Calm down, Slick. Calm down, Slick.
Taking up yoga and transcendental meditation to be able to cool off.
Hey.
There will be some other incidents that happen, but the fact that Lou was the first one out and then had such a weak-ass excuse.
The weakest.
I mean, come on.
The weakest.
At least say, I went to see a buddy of mine and he didn't show up I decided to have, do something.
They got wings in his name. He can't go get one? What the hell is weak about that? You know what? The NBA forced these guys to now go into the, quote, family emergency kit. Now, Lou Williams had a legitimate reason, a funeral. Yes. Sorry for his loss. But there's been a lot of family emergencies around the NBA bubble right now. It's, you know, in our days, we used to call it back injury or tendonitis or flare-ups. Like, coach, I ain't with this right now. Like, give me a pardon from all this work. But the thing about it is, let's stop making the equation that Lou Williams left to go get some wings and go see some ladies. Let's stop making the equation that you can't win a championship or become a Hall of Fame player. Because if you have some entertainment balance issues, then all of a sudden you're not focused. And I think I'm hearing that
Marcellus,
from you, and especially from you.
We are in the middle of a pandemic. This isn't the Jordan era of the mid-90s when he was just going to where he was trying to go after a game. Going to a Magic City, going to a strip joint during a pandemic, sir, is far different than going in the offseason when you're not putting nobody else at risk. But since Slick went there, Marcellus, shall we go there?
Always.
Always. Because you brought up a point. You said these NBA players, these 20-something-year-old men, and Lou Williams was the first. The most concerning part, Marcellus, if we can be real, remember camp eyes? Marcellus, you remember that term?
Oh, yeah. As soon as you got there. Hello.
Camp eyes, bruh. Slick, you know, when you in camp too long and you just around your fellas, you around your bruhs, it's good to see you, Marcellus. You good. You
what
good.
A yeah, why?
I was camp. You know, everything Gucci. But after a while, bruh, everybody of the opposite sex becomes a little more attractive because all you done seen is your boys. Marcellus, you good, you good. Yeah, I'm good. See, the problem is Lou Williams, he already ate the bait, Slick, and you hit the nail on the head because we only in, what, week one, week two of the bubble, and Lou Williams already hit the joints? Hey, Marcellus, this does not bode well for your squad, big bruh. This does not bode well for your squad. I'm sorry.
Can we also stop comparing everybody to Michael Jordan?
No, no, not in basketball. No.
Just being Lou Williams fan.
No. No.
The farther you are down the scale, the more you have to be about your business and be focused to get the job done. And Michael knew what it took to win championships. Sweet Lou has no idea what it takes to win championships, but he's decided to do the same old that didn't win in championships before. At some point, you got to go, you know what? Maybe I need to change this up a little bit, because what I've been doing hasn't been working as far as me getting championships. Having great off-season parties, Yeah. Being Lou, yeah. Being a champion, not so much.
Oh, wow. Now we're going to make Alex Caruso the poster child for dedication and focus. Y'all, yeah. Hey, Lou Williams ain't Michael Jordan, but he sure ain't no damn Alex Caruso either.
All I know is this. Somebody deliver some wings to my crib so I can see if they was worth it.
I told Camp Goggles, ones become tens very fast.
That's facts. Coming up, Patriot Rodney Harrison says Cam Newton is going to make the Patriots forget about the GOAT, Tom Brady. We'll tell you if we buy in that. Next. Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's move to Cam Newton, who is expected to be in Patriots camp today. New England is turning the page from 20 seasons in the Tom Brady era. Cam going to New England is so big, my former teammate and Patriot, Rodney Harrison, thinks it can actually make Brady's former teammates forget about the man who brought the franchise 6 Super Bowl titles. Listen to Rodney.
As a player, think about it. If I'm Devin McCourty and I just lose Tom Brady, and all of a sudden in the offseason, I'm like, what the heck is this Jared Stidham going to do? As a defense, do we really have to be the number one defense in the league to win now? Then all of a sudden Cam Newton signs. You're like, holy crap, man, we got a legitimate chance. Like, we can win this division. You automatically forget about Tom Brady, and you feel like you give yourself a really legitimate chance of winning that division and getting back into the playoffs and having success.
Joined now by Fox NFL analyst, my boy, Mark Stinky Schlereff. Acho, starting with you, though. Will Cam make the Patriots forget about Brady?
I think he will, bro. Now, you know, when you first hear this soundbite, I started laughing. It was laughable. I was like, that's an asinine quote. But then you think about it, Marcellus, like any other relationship. Football's not immune to the facts of other relationships.
I like
it. If you're in a relationship, bro, and they attend, and y'all end things, man, you're devastated, you're heartbroken, you're distraught, you don't know how to think, you don't know how to feel. But if all of a sudden, a couple months later, another 10 comes strolling by, start dating, start seeing each other, you know what? It doesn't undermine, Marcellus, what you had in your previous relationship.
I like it.
It doesn't negate the fact that you shared some intimate moments. You all have several rings, 6 of them. You all have hoisted several trophies together. What matters now is you good. So to a degree, Gucci. You have forgotten about what you shared. It doesn't take away from it. Mm-mm. I'm just saying, you forgot about it. So I do think that Cam Newton can make the Patriots forget about Tom Brady because they're not worried about the past. They're only looking forward to the future and how bright the future is with that man, Superman.
I think first off, to forget about Tom Brady, I think that's an insane statement. After 9 championships and 6 world championships, he'd gone to 9 in 20 years. You won 6 of them. I mean, I think it's insane to sit there and say, God, like Cam Newton is going to make me forget about Tom Brady. Now, there's going to be some things about Cam Newton that are going to make you excited about playing with Cam Newton, but they're not going to make me forget about Tom Brady. Did you forget about the first love of your life? The first girl? Absolutely. Yeah, now, you're not going to mention her, but you haven't forgotten about her. Listen, one thing about Cam Newton, is Cam Newton what Cam Newton once was? I don't know. Nobody knows until he plays. Is he healthy? Can he do those things? The one thing that we keep looking at is the outlier of the 8 or 9 games he played under Norv Turner when he was really exceptional. Then the injuries caught up to him. But if you look at the course of his career, he's been a subpar passer when it comes to completion percentage. He's just been an exceptionally gifted athlete. The guy's a phenomenal. I mean, he's a freak show of an athlete. Can he combine those two things that he used to have and become, you know, become Cam that he was that we remember when he won an MVP? I don't know about that, but he's certainly not going to make me forget about Tom Brady. There's no question. And if Tom Brady lights it up in Tampa and there's a slow start to England, you know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be reminiscing about that one got away. Yeah, there's no question about that in my mind.
DeVita Adams, 8th grade. Moved away. Yeah. Oh, did I mention it?
You know what I'm talking about.
Whatever. I'm with Rodney Harrison on this one. Stink made strong points, but I'm with Rodney, and I'm not even trying to be sensational. I'm trying to give it to you from 2 perspectives. One, as an athlete, we all get enamored by the bigger, faster, stronger player. And if you look at it from an athletic perspective, talent-based conversation, Cam Newton has been better than Tom Brady at every stage of playing football except the pro level consistently. So that makes you say, man, Tom Brady got into that laboratory with that special scientist by the name of Bill Belichick, and they made up some concoction that we have not seen before that extracted all of your talents.
Wait a minute. Is Cam Newton now in that laboratory too?
That's the lab.
And is he going to get some of that formula that Belichick poured on Tom Brady? What could that be in your imagination? So from an athletic perspective, every single team player on that team is juiced up. I know I would be. Now, let's look at it from the perspective where we keep talking about relationships. It's not on Cam Newton to make you forget about Tom Brady. Because I have a friend right now who just finalized a divorce, 2-year proceedings, went through a divorce. And we were talking about people he's met over the course of the last month or so. And his sister told me something that kind of caught me off guard. Because I was like, none of them add up to who you just broke up with in divorce. None of them seem like they had the potential or being the marrying type. And his sister said, but Marcellus, remember this. All they're here to do right now, unfortunately, and maybe fortunately, is to take his mind off of what he went through. Mm. Think about that. All Cam Newton has to do is not be better than Tom Brady. Just take your mind off of what Tom Brady's greatness
meant. What they call
that,
Marcellus? Like a rebound?
A little rebound.
A little rebound.
And a one year Cam Newton on the cheap. It's a great rebound. Anyone want to respond to that?
Listen, it's a great rebound, and I'm with you guys from this standpoint. Does it legitimize them again in that division based on what they were going to play with and Stidham, and now they got Cam Newton? Absolutely, if Cam Newton can be healthy and can be the Cam Newton we remember, I am down with that. But by no stretch of the imagination am I ever going to say, hey, I'm going to disregard what Tom Brady did, or I'm going to forget about what Tom Brady did. And the one thing that we all know, because we all played long enough to understand this, I have seen plenty of guys that are great-looking athletes. Hmm. They can't play a lick of football. And I like to say this, man.
That's fast.
And I've seen this 100 times, man. Yeah. Football is easy for football players. It's hard for athletes. Yeah. And Tom Brady is really good at playing football, as is Cam Newton. I just want to see the whole package. That's my concern with Cam Newton is, can you be what you were in 2015 and 2016, or are these injuries going to – are these injuries going to hurt you on your process and on your progress to being back to what you once were?
I look at it like this. They might not actually forget long term about Tom Brady, but it may let those Tom Brady emotions fall into the sunken place. Now, Tom Brady is one of he's the greatest. So it's hard to draw a parallel. But Aaron Rodgers, for a while at least, has made Packers fans forget about Brett Favre. Carson Wentz and Nick Foles has made Eagles fans forget about McNabb. Dak Prescott made Cowboys fans forget about Tony Romo. And Alex Smith had his best year in Kansas City. But Pat Mahomes, as sure as heck, made them forget about Alex Smith. So it all depends on the level of success that Cam Newton has. Tom Brady is forever going to be beloved by New England fans, and they will always remember him. But you just need that little Cam Newton to make you forget for a couple nights. That's it.
Yep, and all you want is a chance at the dance, and Cam Newton gives you that. Coming up, Seahawks broke the bank to land Jamal Adams. We'll tell you if they're officially the team to beat in the NFC. Next, Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
An FS1 doubleheader gets underway tomorrow as Aaron Judge and the Yankees take on Bryce Harper and the Phillies. Then the Dodgers square off with the Astros. Coverage begins tomorrow at 5 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. Now, the Seahawks, they made a huge move over the weekend, trading for safety Jamal Adams, one of the top young safeties in the league. The 2-time Pro Bowler is joining a Seattle team that has made the playoffs, but was only 26th in total defense last season and allowed the 4th most yards per play. Joined once again by Mark Slayer. Glad you didn't go anywhere, my brother. But Marcellus, I'm going to start with you. Does Jamal Adams make the Seahawks a team to beat in the NFC?
No. NFC? How about trying to win your division first? I mean, you forget that they're in a division with the 49ers, 13 wins, a team that's not going to have a chip on their shoulder because they were so close, 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. No way. How about a sky was falling, backpedaling Los Angeles Rams that still won 9 games, and they're going to fix their issues and their woes. And the Arizona team that was coming, winning a couple of their last 3 games. Green Bay, New Orleans, 13-win teams as well. Tampa Bay with Tom Brady in tow now? No, they'll be lucky if they even win their division. If you look at this in totality, the impact the safety can have on this team, this was a team that had unfortunate circumstances at the end of the season with all of the running backs getting injured, offensive line injuries and woes, And then all you have is Russell Wilson and a couple weapons on the outside. And then a defense that was less than adequate. You add all that up and put Jamal Adams in the mix, it's still not enough to me. So try winning the division first before you talk about the conference.
Yeah, I'm with you, Marcellus. I'm going to say no as well. But my reasoning a little bit different. I'm not worried so much about the conference. I'm thinking big picture. I think the Saints are still the favorite for me.
Yeah.
And it's because, Marcellus, I spent far too long in the casinos and you've told me back in your heyday you used to venture there. Remember that game roulette, right? Yeah. I'm lucky number seven. So I would just keep putting it on seven and hoping eventually I'm going to hit. That's what I'm doing with the Saints, bro, because they got all the pieces. Yeah. You got Lattimore at corner. You got Cameron Jordan. You got Drew Brees. I think they're a more complete team. When I look at the Seahawks, what Pete Carroll's trying to do, I respect it. Recreate the Legion of Boom. Quandre Diggs, one of the smartest safeties in the league, back there in the deep end. Traded to Seattle last year, started balling. Now you have Jamal Adams. He's a Swiss Army knife. Mm. He can blitz, he can cover, he can hold everything back there. The problem is, like we said, the defensive line, too many voids. The defensive line, too many holes. So I do think that the Seahawks are better now, obviously, because of Jamal Adams. But you do, first off, got to get through your division. The Niners and their defensive line, they can hunt. If you somehow get through the division, Jamal Adams alone, he's not going to be able to rectify all the other missing pieces that the Seahawks have.
I think it does a couple things for you, and I'm with both of you. I like the Saints. I even like the division. When you look at the division with the San Francisco 49ers, the way they control the line of scrimmage, the way they run the ball, the efficiency they play offense with, I think it does a couple things for you on the defensive side of the ball. I think, one, it gives you the ability to disguise because both those safeties can play either in or deep. And so from a disguise standpoint, gives you a lot of options. Jamal is a phenomenal football player. There's no question about it. The other thing about this defense, they were probably in base about 80% of the plays. And so it really puts you, when you're a 57 front defense, and I know this is a little bit deep, but when you play that style of defense, it puts your defensive ends in a bad position to rush the passer. But they like to play base. They like to match up base, three linebackers to nickel. That's what they do, but it puts them in a bad position to essentially get a pass rush. And you know, this league, if you don't rush that quarterback, especially when the average ball gets out in 2 seconds or less, you're going to have a tough time creating turnovers and doing those things. So I love the move, and Jamal Adams is a great player, but I don't love the Seahawks even winning their division. So I think defensively, philosophically speaking, they don't put themselves in a great position to rush the passer. And then I think offensively, they've got some issues. They rely on Russell Wilson to cover some of the warts that they have on the offensive side of the ball. And I think those two factors are the reason the Seahawks, to me, are probably the number two team in this division behind the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, it really seems like one of those carbon copy moves where you saw what happened with Tyrann Mathieu and what he did for the Chiefs defense, and you say, hey, we get us a safety, and they got Patrick Mahomes, we have Russell Wilson, we'll have the same magical potion. No, you won't. Think about this. He's not even the reincarnation of Earl Thomas, a single high safety that led the Legion of Boom. Guess what? If you look at the number of snaps from last year, he had more snaps at linebacker and defensive line than he had at safety. So this is going to be a completely different adjustment in terms of philosophy and coming in and trying to make that impact. I'm going to read you six teams right here, fun facts. Mm-hmm. Six teams of recent history that have either given up or received two first-round picks for a free agent acquisition. And I'm going to tell you if this has worked out for any of these teams. The Bears or the Raiders with Khalil Mack? Either one of those teams winning the conference? I don't know. Texans or Dolphins? You might want to whisper about the Texans, but Texans or Dolphins when they went with Laremy Tunsil. Rams or Jaguars when it comes? Maybe the Rams could pick it back up. Jaguars, forget about it, with Jalen Ramsey. My point is, these moves aren't destiny changers. No matter how great the player or the organization is, if you're in a position to make one of these moves where you swing for the fences, chances are you're in a desperate situation a little farther away from your prize than you want to lead on.
They are in a desperate situation. The only thing that I can look at from the positive side for the Seahawks, you got Russell Wilson, I believe 31 years old. He still has 5-6 years left in his prime. They said, you know what?
We're not going to squander Russell Wilson's prime. You can't win a lotto, Marcellus, if you don't buy a ticket. Mm. So I respect the Seahawks for buying that ticket. And that ticket is Jamal Adams. They said he's a 24-year-old top flight safety. We understand we gave away a couple first-round picks, but what are the chances that any of these first-round picks that we gave away become a Jamal Adams? Not very likely. They're going to try to reincarnate that Legion of Boom between those two safeties now. Probably the best safety tandem, or at least the highest IQ safety tandem in the NFL. So we'll see, Seahawks, but I am not convinced. Coming up, yeah. Lou Williams may have to burst the Clippers bubble with his appetite for some wings. Uh-oh. Uncle Demi, I'm going to need you to stop by and tell us what you think. Next.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Let's return to the NBA bubble and Lou Williams, who has to spend 10 days in quarantine after he was seen at a gentleman's club in Atlanta while out of the bubble. But he said he was there for food and not to party. I believe him. We're now joined by Uncle Jimmy. Is it a big deal or no deal? Lou Williams went out in Atlanta.
Where you at?
Oh, you know where he at.
Emmanuel. I bet you didn't know you was working side by side with such a heathen, did you?
I didn't. I didn't.
You said, I know you thought you was working with a family man, didn't you?
That's what I thought.
Now.
Hey, man, you know the reason he ain't got a problem with Lou Williams and these lemon pepper wings?
How come, huh?
It's because he done spent $2,000 on French fries his damn self.
Not $2,000.
Hey, man, Marcellus Wiley got pictures all up and down Magic City. Him and Big Boy, Andre. Pictures of him in his Dallas uniform. Him in his Chargers uniform. It's even pictures of him in college dressed like an elf at a strip club drunk quoting Malcolm X.
Hey, man, let me tell you
something. What? Hey, man, let me tell you something. If I go to a strip club, you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to have oxtails, lobster tails, and all other kind of tails. Come see Uncle Jimmy. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Hey,
I'm eating everything in the house.
Use that Windex on
come
that pole,
see me, baby.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.